that it took my breath away, and I stopped. Besides, my knees were shaking, and Baba looked at me and smiled. He held out his arms like this, and said, "Come on." And I went running into his arms and burst into tears and realized for the first time in my life that I was home, that I had never had one and I had just found it. And I had never felt so completely loved and completely accepted and completely safe. And at that point, I think my mind went into neutral. It just came to a grinding halt. It was like being a kindergarten kid again, right? And when I stepped back from Baba, he was crying. There were tears running down his cheeks. And I just stood there and looked at him. And he looked at me and he just nodded. And then he started calling Mara and Mani and some of the women. There was room on the left was Mara's room and had a louvered door. So they had watched my meeting with Baba. And I wasn't aware that there was anybody else in the room. Baba was the only thing I saw, but Dr. Gohar was there, and Erich, of course, who was interpreting for Baba. And Mahajee had come in behind me. And then he called the women. And as an afterthought, he suddenly said, "Oh, do you have any questions?" Yeah. I said, "No, Baba." Because I thought if there was anything he wanted me to know, he'd tell me. And if I asked him anything, I might get an answer I didn't want. So it was better to leave alone. When the introduction had been completed, he let me sit at his feet. And he said, "Did you read the family letter?" And I thought, uh-oh, he's going to throw me out. I shouldn't have come. And I didn't care. I'd seen him. I'd seen his eyes. That was all I wanted. It was enough. If he threw me out, it was fine. But he said, "What did the family letter say? And I said, "Well, Baba, you said people shouldn't come a great distance or at great expense." And he said, "You came anyway?" I said, "Yes, Baba." He said, "It's all right. I'm glad you came in spite of the letter." And he said, "Now, what are you going to do when you leave here?" And I said, "Well, I was going to go back tonight. But Air India says there isn't another flight for 5 days, and there's no way I can make the flight back tonight. It's impossible. There were no flights from Pune to Bombay then." And I said, "But Bob, if you want me to, I'll try." And he said, "No, no, you can't." So he said, "Then what will you do?" And I said, "Well, I guess I'll just go sit in a hotel and wait for the plane to leave." And he said, "No sightseeing." I said, "No, Bob." And he said, "Well, you won't go and sit in the hotel for 5 days. You come here every day for 5 days and sit with me until the plane goes." And then he said, "What will your office think of that?" And I said, "Well, Baba, they told me they couldn't understand why I was coming just for the weekend. And they said if I wanted to stay, I should cable them." And he said, "Well, make sure that you do." And I had the feeling that if they hadn't said that, he would have gotten me back to that plane and back to the United States. I have lost a lot of what, I don't remember what happened in that hour because I was so, I just completely so fallen head over heels in love at that moment that I wasn't aware of a lot of the stuff that Baba said to me. But I think it was simple things like, "Have you slept? And are you comfortable at the hotel?" About 4:30, Baba said to me, "Now you sit closer to my feet or you'll get crushed." And they were going to open the doors and let the people who had come for their 1 hour come in. So I did. I scooted closer. And I was looking over my shoulder at the doors when they opened them. And this thundering herd came through the doors, some of whom dove through the windows. And they started running toward Baba to see. You know, they wanted to get as close as they could, and Baba loved it. He sat up there and he slapped his knee and enjoyed it tremendously. No decorum whatsoever. And I saw out of the corner of my eye this woman bearing down on me. rather heavy set. She got to me and she planted one hand on top of my head and used me as a pivot. And she swung herself over me. So she scooted around behind Bob's chair and sat down so she could be right behind him and up against the chair. You know? And I remember being past some child who had gotten separated from his parents, you know, and they were just passing him through the crowd. And Baba loved it, you know, that kind of enthusiasm for him. When it all settled down, Bob at one point, he asked me if I knew why St. Francis loved Jesus more than Peter had. And he said that it was because Francis had never met Jesus, that his love was that much stronger, deeper, which meant a great deal to me, having waited those 5 years to meet Baba, and having been so jealous of everybody who had. And then he asked a girl from Bombay if she would sing a song for me about St. Mira. And he asked if I knew who Mira was, and I didn't. And he said that she was a Hindu saint. She had lived hundreds of years after Krishna, but had been very devoted to him. That she had given up everything, left her a kingdom, her husband, her entire family, to spend her life wandering, telling people about her Lord Krishna. And then he got very serious. It was the only serious time in the 5 days that I was with Baba that I remember. And he looked at me and he said, Mira never put anyone or anything between herself and Krishna. And he repeated it. And I understood that he was saying, I am your Krishna. Never put anyone or anything between myself and you. I took that very literally for some time, you know, and it took a while for me to realize he wasn't saying don't love. He's saying just don't get so carried away that you let someone or something take you from me. Well, along about that point, we'd been sitting on the floor, several thousand people, like Rick is sitting, and that was not easy for me, and I was getting obviously very uncomfortable, and Baba said, that's not comfortable for you, and there's no reason for you to do it. You weren't born to it as we were. And he had a chair brought and put against the wall, and he asked Ronald Gailey to come out and sit with me so that if Erich was translating his gestures into Marathi or Telugu, Rano could translate for me immediately and I wouldn't have to wait for the translation. So I ended up sitting, if this were the wall, then Baba would have been sitting against where the door is back there so that I had that three-quarter look at his face with Rano sitting on my left. And the one thing that Liz had told me, the only important thing to remember when you were with Baba, was never take your eyes off him, because the moment you did would be the time when he'd turn and look at you and you'd miss it. So I sat there the whole afternoon just staring at him. And every once in a while he'd whip around. He was so fast. He'd turn and he'd go, eyebrows up and saying, are you happy? Are you happy? Rana would give me a dig in the ribs, answer him. Answer. You know, saying, yes, Baba. You know, and every time he asked me, I was ecstatically happy. And he'd do that over and over and over through the next 5 days. Oh, are you happy? Are you happy? Well, Baba's hour turned into, I think he was there 3 hours that first day. The second morning, I was at the hotel, and I heard this commotion downstairs about noon and feet pounding up the stairs. I was on the second floor and there was Fred Winnefeld. I knew that Fred had been coming, but there'd been some little technicality with his passport, so he came a day after I did. And we grabbed each other and did this polka around the balcony at the hotel, you know, and I was yelling, I saw him. That afternoon, Fred got to see Baba alone for a little while. Now, Baba had not asked me how I had gotten to India, but he asked Fred, he said, how did Ann get here? So Fred told him, and when he got to the part about Jenny and Liz giving me the money to go, Baba had tears in his eyes. And he said, Baba is touched by such love for Baba and for a friend. Then later when I saw Baba in the hall, he said, Fred's told me how you got here. He said, everyone helped you then. I said, yes, Baba. He said, everyone helped you because I helped you. I wanted you to come. Well, that morning, I had tried to send a cable to Jenny and Liz and couldn't find the words. It was a dumb cable. So Baba, at that point after he, you know, said that Fred had told him how I'd gotten there, he said, I have sent a cable to Virginia and Liz. And he had Erich give me a copy of it. And Baba said, do you think they'll like it? And what he'd done, he'd sent them the cable, but he'd signed my name to it. And it said, Baba says, because you have helped me come to Baba, you have made Baba come closer to you. Baba sends this love to you both. Signed it, Love Ann. I remember Kitty, when she heard that story, said they had probably had no idea of what they'd done. They said it was very often that Baba would ask somebody to do something, and of course you do it. But to see an opportunity to do something like that and to seize it was so rare, they had no idea the benefit they'd brought on themselves. And of course they weren't thinking of that. Well, that afternoon, there were then two of us sitting against the wall. Baba had said that Fred should stay. The 5 days that I was to stay and when the plane was leaving coincided with the end of the darshan, that I would be there until that 2 weeks was through. Baba said that Fred was to stay too, and he was to change his tickets. We were supposed to go back to New York on the same flight. So the two of us were sitting there with Rano, and I hear this shout from the back of the room, Anavastada Chanji, say, Harry? And there standing in line was Harry Kenmore. And Baba called him and said, Harry, what are you doing here? And Harry said, I've come to see my dear pop. And Baba said, well, your dear pop is very happy to see his dear son. And then there were three of us sitting against the wall. Most of that time spent, there was so much laughter. And Baba was not, he didn't want anything serious. There was one point at which Dr. Deshmukh wanted to give a speech. He insisted upon it. And Baba kept trying to stop him. So, you know, no speech. No, he wanted to give his talk. Finally, Baba said, all right, go ahead. And he started to talk, and there sat Baba through this entire 20-minute thing with his feet crossed like this. There's a little 3-year-old boy sitting in front of him. Baba spent the whole 20 minutes wiggling his toes at that little boy, and of course the eyes and attention of everybody in the crowd was on Baba the little boy. And nobody heard the talk going on. While Fred and Harry were there, in the mornings Baba met with the men Mandali and any men visitors that were there. And during that time he'd send me off with Anavastada Chanji to meet other Baba lovers, keep me occupied some other way. When we were coming up on the last morning, he sent word that I should come to Guru Prasad with Fred and Harry. And we get out there, and he called me into Mandali Hall. He was there with Fred and Harry and the men Mandali and 75 men from Hamapur who had just arrived. So I went in, and Baba says, now you're not supposed to be here. This is a meeting exclusively for the men, and there are no women allowed, but you can stay for 5 minutes. And I just sit down for 5 minutes. Then you'll have to go. So I sat down, and Harry was telling jokes to Baba. And Baba stopped Harry at one point, and he said, Harry, you sure you ought to tell that joke? Ann is here. And Harry says, it's all right, Baba, she's over 21. It's one of Harry's innocuous little jokes. So he went on, and a few minutes later, Baba said, now you have to go. You're not supposed to be here. And I got up and I started out again, Hey, call me back. He said, you come back for another 5 minutes. So I'm back, and I sat down a while longer. A little later, he said, now you really have to go. You're not supposed to be here. And I started out the door. He called me back again, and he said, he was laughing. You know. He said, now when I come back in 700 years, you make sure that you come back as a man so you can attend these exclusive meetings. And everybody, he was laughing, everybody laughed, and I laughed. I got outside the door, and I thought, wait a minute. Well, later, I found Francis Brabazon, whom Baba had more or less put in charge of making sure that Fred and Harry and I got back to the hotel at night and didn't get in any trouble. He followed us around, you know, during the day, he and Mayerji. So I asked Francis, I said, you know, was Baba kidding when he said that? And if he wasn't kidding, how do I make sure? And Francis said, well, he's not kidding. He said he often will tell you something, but in a light way. And he said, what he's done is make you a promise, and all you have to do is remember it. Well, after I'd left the room at that point, Baba said, you go to Mara and Mani now. And Anubis took me to Mara's room, and there were 20 or 25 of the women there, all of the Mandali, and a lot of visitors, and it was confused and chaotic. And I'd spent that week just going along with what anybody said anyway, you know, so it didn't make any difference to me. I was not operating at full capacity. So Mara said they had a sari they wanted me to try on. So they all had a hand in this. They got me dressed up in this lovely lavender sari with gold flecks. And it was a perfect fit. And Gohar kept saying to me, now put your hands together and say, Namaste, Baba. And I kept trying to do it. She kept making me do it till I got it somewhere near the correct pronunciation. I still don't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, they opened the doors to the hallway, and we all trooped out into the hall, and we walked across the hall. Gohar opened another set of doors, gave me a shove in the back, and then slammed the doors behind me. And I was back in Mandali Hall with Baba and Fred and Harry and 75 men from Homophore. And I looked at Baba, and the only thing I could think of was, this sari is not going to stay on. Because, you know, if you're not used to it, it feels that way. But I remembered what Gohar had said, and I put my hands together. I said, Namaste, Baba. And Baba looked up, and his eyes got big, and he said, it's beautiful. He called me over, gave me an embrace, and he said, now you go back to the moon. So I turned around, went out, went back to them, and Mara said that the sari was hers, and that Baba had said that she could give it to me as a gift from her and from Baba. Now, what nobody but me knew, supposedly, was that that morning, being the last day, I had wanted very much to get dressed up for Baba. It was extremely hot. I had brought all the wrong clothes. The only thing I had to get dressed up in was a black summer dress, fine for suburban New York, terrible for Indian May, you know, impossible. So I was wearing the same thing I'd worn all week and washed out all night. And Baba took care of that wish. He gave me one of Mara's saris for me to get dressed up in for him. That entire week, he gave me every stupid little thing I wanted. After that, I wanted to give something to Mara, but Baba had said, don't bring any gifts for him or the Mandali, so I wouldn't even ask. And that evening, Dr. Gohar came to the hotel, and she said, Baba wants to know if you will get some things for Mara in New York. I said, of course. And she said, now I have the money for them. And I said, well, do you think it would be all right with Baba if I took care of that? I'd really like to. She laughed and she said, Baba said you wouldn't take the money. Well, the last afternoon that we were to be there was also the last afternoon of the darshan. A lot of the Indians, instead of going right home after they'd had their hour earlier in that 2 weeks, had hung around Pune on the chance that Baba would do exactly as he did do, which was send out word that anyone who was still in Pune, whether they'd had their hour or not, must come to Guru Prasad that afternoon. It was an order. They were to come for Prasad. So that there were somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people trying to jam into that hall in the afternoon. And Baba was there, I think, till 10 o'clock at night, because he saw every single one of them. And people were supposed to get their prasad and then leave the hall immediately, go home. So I got in line and went up and got my prasad, and as I turned around and I was going to leave the hall. That's what he said. And I had this hand on the back of my neck, and it's Rano. And she said, "Not you, dummy." "He doesn't mean you. Go back and sit against the wall." Oh, dear. Wonderful.
What does Narustar mean?
The God in me greets the God in you. It's the same word in most Indian languages. It cuts across those dialect lines. The last hour, or that last afternoon, there also appeared on the scene Edward and Irwin Luck, who made it within 15 minutes for the last hour. They arrived at 4:15. I think they had come by way of Africa to get there or something, a really weird plane flight. And it was Edward's first meeting with Baba. And Baba let the two of them spend the afternoon seated right at his feet. And they held a pillow over Baba's feet to prevent people from bowing down to him, which he didn't want at that time. So Baba also made them change their tickets. He wanted all five of us to go back to New York on the same flight. And we were to leave the next morning with Meherji to go to Bombay, spend the day in Bombay with Meherji, and get on the flight that night.